I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
It's alive! It's alive!
What's your favorite scary movie?
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Oh, no, not the pig! Not the pig!
This is my boomstick!
Hi, creatures.
I am Pina Palmer.
And I'm Grim Grinning Gabby.
And we're in another episode.
Thank you so much for tuning into the last episode about horror hosts.
Unpleasant dreams.
And leaving comments on your favorite horror hosts.
Nailed it.
We saw a lot of results in there for show.
In our itinerary, you guys, I am looking here at the results that you all put down in our polls, and you guys voted.
The results are in.
Did Elvira copy Vampyra? And y'all said, 51% said, oh yes.
You copy my look.
49% said, absolutely not. So I would say a lot of you guys said yes. You guys think Elvira copied Vampyra, which I agree with.
Because then you know you won't have to sit through a sequel.
But we won't tell Elvira that. And then we put, now choose Elvira or Vampyra.
The results are in.
You guys voted 56% Elvira, winning hard.
Let's show Elvira exactly what she's inherited.
Vampyra was only 8%, and then there was another one put in there that said, I can't decide. That was 36%, so you guys just couldn't choose between our horror hostesses. Understandable, but majority of you liked Elvira, but you also think she is a cheating rat bastard stealing woman. Put her in jail, boys. I also read a comment that somebody confirmed that Vincent Price is considered a horror host, and majority though in Canada when he did like a certain thing. And I didn't know he was involved with Canada at any point in time. Am I dumb?
Goddamn native Canadians.
Didn't know. So learn something new from you guys, and I hope you guys learn something new from maybe us.
Not a damn thing.
If you guys aren't aware, we have a pun sound effect. Gabby. Hit it again. Yeah. And usually when we have a pun or a joke of some kind, we hit it. And we hit it good. And sometimes it's a terrible pun, or not even a pun, but we just like hitting it.
Yeah.
So that's our show.
Thanks for coming.
Moving on.
For this week's episode, what are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about
our
favorite
idiot.
We're going to talk about one of our most favorite things, horror
musical. Basically, this entire episode is us singing terribly to your favorite musicals and just us butchering it left and right. But yes, horror musicals is what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, and really makes us happy, so.
You know what? A lot of horror people are theater kids.
Yeah.
Standard nerds!
So when you mix those two together, it's a wonderful, wonderful combination.
Oh.
You know that one person who like sings louder or well?
Oh my God, yes.
When you're like, everybody's singing bad, and then they're that person that's like holding the note.
And then goes, I'm so sorry, my throat's so dry. I just, ugh.
And this is not an acoustic environment that's suitable to request this from me.
Or they take a high note at happy birthday.
Yeah.
Go f*** yourself.
What are you doing?
Get
language.
Apparently, I'm really impressed by this.
Because you know why? We have been around too many people that have done that.
Next.
So yeah, we're going to talk about horror musicals, because mm-hmm. horrors and musicals, although they may seem like a wacky combo, because it's created some really iconic and moments. What's that word?
Pop culture.
And cult classics. There it is.
Right.
You did it!
So we're going to talk about horror movie musicals first, before we go into horror Broadway, off-Broadway stage musicals.
Musicals, yeah.
It's a musical, Pop, a great musical.
All the theater kids' buttholes just puckered like, I hope they talk about zombie prom.
Zombie.
What do you want to begin with?
Okay, have you ever seen 1974 Phantom of Paradise?
Absolutely not.
Oh my god.
Phantom of the Paradise.
So Phantom of Paradise, for anyone that hasn't watched it, picture Rocky Horror Picture Show and the Phantom of Opera had a rock baby.
What type of music would you compare it to?
It's rock, so it's closer to Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Like Jesus Christ Superstar?
Yeah.
What else you got? What else you got?
We got 1975. What are we named after? The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Hyperventilating. I think this is my most watched musical ever. I think I've seen this musical the most out of anything in my life.
How about that?
Clearly, we like it. Look at our name, the Talkie Horror Podcast Show, instead of the Rocky Horror Rocky Horror Podcast.
You're stupid.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Idiot.
But Richard O'Brien, did you guys know, fun fact.
Is it fun?
Richard O'Brien, I didn't know what he looked like or who he was. At this early in the age, I was watching a movie called Ever After.
Oh.
With Drew Barrymore, and it's like a Cinderella movie.
Cinderella?
Richard O'Brien is in it, and he plays the sleazy guy that tries to, like, give me a kiss. And it's, like, still in riff-raff kind of voice.
Hello.
Sleazy. I didn't know that was him, so I put that two together later in life, and I was like, that's Richard O'Brien.
Fun fact.
It premiered in the Royal Court Theater in 1973 before it became a movie in 75.
Right.
I wasn't allowed to watch it, so I snuck into Andrea's room while she was watching it, and I watched it.
My dad showed me Rocky Horror Picture Show, and my dad has the cassette vinyl tapes of it, and I have it down there below in my room. Let me go down to the basement. Here we go.
Oh, thank you.
And it's right here.
It's beautiful.
And it has all the vinyls of, like, the original cast recording, everything. It's kind of fucking awesome. That's what really made me like
the Rocky Horror Picture Show
more than just the movie was actually the revamped musical that just came out on West End. Yes. That stage adaptation is the best thing I have ever seen that made me like it even more.
How many times I watched it solo on YouTube, and then you and I just at boredom been like, let's just put it on.
It's so good.
I went down a whole, like, rabbit hole one day, and I remember messaging you and be like, hey, I found, like, all the riffraffs doing the final the night final. Song. Which one's your favorite?
Actually, here's a boasting moment. Riff Raff, he's the one in that show recording that we have of the anniversary.
Yes, yes, yes.
That motherfucker follows me.
Okay.
Jealous?
Jealous.
I followed him first. I'm not going to act like he sought me out with my beautiful singing voice.
I've been a bad, bad girl.
There's no way in hell.
That's my stroke of ego. Riff Raff. Carmen?
Not only was a rock musical, which was very kind of on point, though, for the 1970s, I must say, but it has now become one of the biggest cult classic movies in the world. When you type in cult classic, everybody, just go on the internet, type in cult classic movies. The first one that pops up is what?
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Number one cult movie I would consider in the world, because it is just strange and unusual.
Strange and unusual.
There's nothing else like it. There are things that come close to it, which we will get to a little bit later.
Yeah.
But there is nothing else like it. The genius of Tim Curry and Richard O'Brien put together. It did start off on as a stage play, and then it worked its way up to a very small budget film that they filmed out there in England.
It is the British way.
I just fell in love with it because I thought I loved this everything. And then finally, my sisters and I would sing it off key. And it was just like, yeah, family thing. We love it.
It's Rocky Horror Picture Show. To the point now, it's become such a cult icon that people have shadow casts of it. And if you guys don't know what shadow casts are, these are production, like little small theater groups with some kind of movie screen or just backdrop. And they will play the movie of Rocky Horror Picture Show. And then there will be people on stage acting it out. Not on mic, but they're just kind of like...
They're dancing.
Dubbing. They're kind of doing the movements, some good, some not so good.
What
the audience has now become this audience participation, not only in the movie, but actually in the theater, too. They will scream out obscenities, or they'll throw popcorn.
They bring newspapers, umbrellas,
right,
water
when
guns.
It rains at the beginning. It's fascinating how that developed, though. And who was the first one that started it? I don't know.
I don't know. Remember, so the movie Fame came out in 1980. And there's a scene when the kids go to see Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
And they're reenacting it. So that movie had only been out for 4 years.
Right.
So it's almost like it happened shortly after the movie that it came to like reenact it.
It all happened so fast.
The one that I wasn't so like... Four was the most recent remake with that was on what was it, one of those ABC,
oh, the one with Ryan,
yeah, right,
another ego stroke.
Gently stroking those nipples.
To work with a guy at our park named, I don't know his last name, but Ryan used to be a PA, and if you don't know what a PA is kind of like a security guard for characters that are
character
in the park.
Hosts.
Character hosts. And they will help protect the characters and guide the line and take pictures for you, yada yada. Well, we didn't know Ryan had a wonderful hidden talent of being, I don't know, a good actor and singer. He auditioned for something, didn't get it. I know what it was. I think it was Shaggy.
And, yeah, Ryan McCartan, yeah.
Yeah. And he didn't get it. And then he quit Universal. And then as soon as he quit Universal,
I quit.
He got famous.
Right. I'll show all of you.
He got Disney Channel, started dating Dove Cameron. Then he was in Heathers, the musical, originated. So, Veronica, open the door, please.
Veronica, open the door.
That's Ryan. And then he's Fiero on Broadway. He's, what's his name, in Frozen, the musical, Broadway. And he was in the revival of Rocky Horror Picture Show Live, which was cool to see him in. You know, I think he's a great Brad, and he sang it wonderfully.
Yeah.
Damn it, Janet.
So I love Rocky Horror, but the one that I probably watched so much, Little Shop of Horrors. So I remember I watched the 1960 film with my mom.
Oh.
That one's dark, but it has a young Jack Nicholson in it.
Here's Johnny.
It opened on Broadway in 1980. And then in 1986, Rick Moranis.
Yes.
Came in as Seymour.
He's so cute.
He's adorable. That's so perfect.
You got nothing to be ashamed of?
I've always wanted to be a doo-wop girl. I understand. It doo-wop may never happen. In fact, I loved it so much that in high school... Junior high, I did a lot of theater competitions. What? Me? I know.
You did what?
And so one of the competitions we did was a lip syncing competition.
Oh, hell
and I
yeah.
convinced my friends Lorenzo and Richard
to lip sync for your life
to do a song with me. And I said, just
Which
trust
ones?
Me on this. Dentist.
You'll be a dentist.
So I was the dentist, and I got these two junior high football players to dress up as my doo-wop girls.
What did he say?
Who said my mama said? They put on wigs. They were all for it. I was a drag king. They were beautiful drag queens.
Oh.
And this was in seventh grade, but we placed third, and I was so proud of them because they got into it.
You ain't first. Last.
Fun fact too. No, I don't know any. I don't know anybody in this movie. I am not going to claim I do. No. I have made no contact with any of these people. I knew Audrey too back in high school.
Feed me.
I'm going to say this. I think, and y'all could shoot me if you disagree, go ahead. I think that Little Shop of Horrors has one of the best musical openings ever.
Ever.
There's something about that big drum roll that has that narrator, once there was, you know, like this very, very cool kind of 1960s kind of newscaster, and it fell from space, and it's very kind of almost like pulp art.
Encountered a deadly threat to its very existence.
And then you have the urchins. These girls just wail. And it's just the three of them. And it's just the opening act. But there's just something about that act while the stage is coming alive.
Yeah. It sucks you in from the beginning.
Goosebumps. I have goosebumps right now just fucking talking about it. Look at me. Look.
I see you. And they are goosey and bumpy.
Oh, wow. So do you agree with me or are you going to shoot me?
I'm not going to shoot you. Not for this. Because I agree with you.
Okay.
I will put the gun back.
Jake Gyllenhaal was one.
He was one.
Which I'm like, Jake Gyllenhaal playing Seymour? Get out of here. Get out.
You get out right now.
Goodbye. Slam the door. One, he's just not a good singer. And I get you don't need wonderful singers in Seymour, but it sure hell helps, right? It's more of a character role.
Yeah.
But he's just he's too good looking.
And he was with Ellen Green.
Seymour!
And this is 2015.
She's the OG.
She's the OG.
Old G.
Old.
Compared to, old I mean, green. Compared to Jake.
I'm sorry. I'm showing Sarah a picture.
Oh.
She's
nothing wrong with the cougars. He's too good looking for Seymour.
He's exceptionally hot.
No, he's too good looking, and they just shove weird geeky glasses on him, and they just go, yeah, that'll do. I'm not impressed.
That'll do, pig.
It's like sticking, like, Batman villains. They all have disheveled hair and glasses look, and then they transform. It's the same thing.
Batman.
It's the same thing. I'm not impressed, everybody. I'm just not. Next.
Moving on. Did you ever watch the 1993 Cannibal, the musical? Okay.
Oklahoma comes the first intelligent film about cannibalism.
I have only watched about 15 minutes of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a poor quality musical about a Western. It's so bad that I had to turn it off. I did not like the music. Mm. Nothing grabbed me about it, which is shocking because usually Trey Parker and Matt Stone or whatever their names are do incredible work. I love South Park musicals whenever they do it.
I'm sure he'd kick an ass or two. That's what Brian Boitano do.
And the Book of Mormon.
Right.
And they're developing another one right now. I forget the theme of it, but they're doing a new musical about something.
Great story.
But I was not impressed with Cannibal. At all. I didn't like it. This is clearly before their time. The effects are terrible. Just the scenery is really cheap. But I guess maybe that's kind of what they were going for, but I don't like it at all.
It's kind of what you were going for.
I watched about 15 minutes of it. That was it.
Came out in 1983 as well. Nightmare Before Christmas.
Well, that set a revolution, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
The thing that Tim Burton kind of did, but not really. It's true though, right? Everybody associates him with this, but it really, the director was a different dude.
Yeah.
But Danny Elfman did the music.
Boingo, boingo.
Which, anytime Danny Elfman touches anything, it's golden. Do you guys know how much shit Danny Elfman has truly done? Rugrats.
This place gives me the juice bumps.
He did the Rugrats theme song. Bum, 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 bum. Danny Elfman. $1 million.
Yeah.
Right there.
The director was Henry Selick.
Yeah.
And the story was by Tim Burton.
I watched this little short documentary on The Nightmare Before Christmas, and the woman that kind of was designing the characters, the first time she designed Sally voluptuous.
Oh.
I mean, boobalicious, buttalicious, almost like this va-va-voom kind of vixen-type character, and then Tim kind of came in and was like, let's kind of soften her up, make her seem a little bit more innocent, maybe. she was like built like Jessica Rabbit. Like, that's how originally...
That would have been a whole different story.
Just imagine that falling off of the dang... You know, jumping out of the dang window and landing. She wouldn't land right.
Just
she'd be sewing her boob back together instead of her leg. It would be a different story. I think Jack wouldn't have any problem. He would listen to her immediately.
Sally, I need your help more than anyone.
Because when she goes, have you noticed?
Yes, I have noticed.
Perfect.
That's splendid.
Also, I don't think the doctor.
I forget the doctor's name, but Sally.
Yeah, I don't think he would have locked her in towers. Had she looked like that.
You're mine, you know.
I think he would have double locked her up there. Nobody's seeing these.
My ego. Oh my god. I know. Ken Page, I don't know if you know him. He's the voice of Oogie Boogie.
Ooh, I'm really scared.
He was one of our vocal teachers. Yeah, I had a class with him, so.
Oh.
You're joking. You're joking.
And then he spoke at our graduation, so.
So Oogie Boogie.
Oogie Boogie.
He's like, well, well, well.
Oogie Boogie.
Graduates here. How lucky, huh? Ooh, you did it this year.
That was real good.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes. I went to that school too.
You did not.
And he also taught.
You're a liar.
I didn't go to college.
You didn't go there.
School is for fools. Look at me.
And like, I mean, that's pretty f-ing cool though. Yeah.
In the class, we walked in and he started doing all of his things. He goes, I might be known more for... And then went into Oogie Boogie, and my dumbass was like, you're Oogie Boogie. Let me raise my hand.
Yes.
You're Oogie Boogie. Correct. Thank you so
Oogie
much.
Oogie Boogie.
You're joking.
Call that.
You're joking.
You just got your degree.
I'm very proud of you right now.
Thank you. It's the cookies. The cookies are hitting me hard right now. But, you know, Gabby's cool, and I'm not. So now I'm just going to take this ladder.
No.
I'm going to put it up against the bridge.
No, no.
And I'm going to jump off.
Sarah, not the ladder.
Goodbye, everybody.
No, Sarah.
Here I go.
Sarah, no.
Goodbye. And I swam back.
You're all wet.
Okay, have you ever seen this one? Because I just recently saw it. 2001, The Happiness of the Katakuris.
I'm sorry, what?
The Happiness of the Katakuris. I could be saying completely wrong. It is a Japanese horror comedy film.
No, I'm just going to stop you right
musical.
There.
Musical.
No, absolutely not.
Holy moly. It is bizarre. But there's a dance scene they do when they open the door. And they're dead because it has to do with zombies also.
Oh, well.
Zombie!
And it's the family and they do a whole dance scene and they're singing and they're passing this knife around that the guy was stabbed in the neck and they pull it and then they put it back in his neck. Then there's like a girl's eating soup and she pulls out this weird like angel dummy and she starts screaming in the back of her neck or back of her throat. The uvula has a heart and the dummy gets excited and like rips it out, and then a song plays. It's one of those movies you're like, what did I just watch?
But well, what did I just hear?
It's for both. At the same time, though.
You cannot tell me this out of context without any imagery. You just started talking about uvula and angel dummy. I don't know what the hell any of that is. I know I've clearly never seen that.
What did she just say?
Are you kidding me?
I'm not. Because the beginning picture, they're supposed to make it look like you're going to laugh.
Show
Sound
me.
Of Music.
Wait. Let me see that again. Okay, we need to post this picture of this musical's poster on our Instagram right away. You guys need to go check this out. This is very much like they're frolicking in a field. That is... Just that alone honestly kind of sells me. Jinaika!
The hills are alive with the sound of screaming. The Happiness of Katakuris. Love, music, horror, volcanoes. Cinema was never meant to be like this.
Volcanoes? Of course. Why not?
Zombies.
You know what? It might be one of the best damn things in the world. I may not even know it yet. I may love it.
It says, guests mysteriously die at a mountain inn run by a family of oddballs. So, fearing bad publicity... The family buries the bodies of the ill-fated guests and themselves.
Burying you.
And some of the bodies come back to life. And then moving on, let's just talk about a couple more of these. Phantom of the Opera, which premiered on West End in 1986 and then on Broadway in 1988. But the movie came out in 2004.
Christine. You guys. This one, I think Gabby and I have watched together the most. And we have quoted this specific, the movie version with Gerard Butler as the Phantom, which I do like him as the Phantom.
Yeah.
Can he really sing, though? No, it's a little Russell Crowe in Les Mis. I'm not going to lie. It's borderline.
Now, prisoner 24601.
But we quote it all the time. Christine.
Damn you. You little lying Delilah. You little viper.
Curse you.
Do you remember when we were watching the movie?
Which time?
And... one of the many.
One of the
and I went, Gabby,
you need to see this.
Mm-hmm.
Look what I found. And I play the, I played on the TV back at your old apartment. I rewind it back. Does it look like he has a boner?
Yes.
Boner, yeah. Really?
It's like a scene towards the end where he's having his, like, choose me,
yeah,
or choose Raoul, you know, kind of this.
This is the choice.
Got Raoul tied up over there, and he's doing this whole thing, and it, I swear to God.
Looks like he does have a boner. Like, he was in it.
Absolutely.
And he was in it.
We need to take a screenshot of this.
We'll add that off.
And then we're going to add that. And then we're going to put a poll talking about his poll.
Is this a...
on our Instagram. And we're going to show you the picture that I am talking about that I caught looking so closely at the TV, breathing heavy, looking at Gerard Butler's possible boner during.
And he's totally got his dick out.
Which could be the pleating of the pants. That's most excuse of men. Honestly, I'm going to find it and I'm going to put it up and I'm literally going to make you guys look at you. First possible voter. You guys vote.
And you know what's going to help is we do have some male listeners, so they will be like, yeah. Or they'll be like, please.
Absolutely not.
Pleats,
unless they
man.
Don't want... unless you guys don't want to see Gerard the Butler's possible boner, I understand. But I think you guys should maybe help me out. Help out a girl over here. Yes, there's Phantom of the Opera. We all know.
We know that one. We're not going that one. But right after that, the following year, Corpse Bride.
The lesser version of Nightmare Before Christmas. A lot of fans were excited for this because they were hoping it was Nightmare Before Christmas 2.
What's this?
Basically.
Essentially.
And, you know, I have a theory why it didn't work.
Let's hear it.
Not enough songs.
Mm-hmm.
And the songs that were there were all lullaby, except one. Remains of the Day.
Okay, yeah.
Which was kind of like the Oogie Boogie song of that movie. Everything else was so monotoned because Helena Bonham Carter, we all know, can't sing for shit. If I touch a burning... It's like Corpse Bride is taking Sally's song from Nightmare Before Christmas and making that song an entire musical.
Movie.
That is what Corpse Bride is to me. It's just taking Sally's one little lullaby and just double down on every single thing. If I touch a burning candle, I can feel the pain. And I go, I don't care. I hate this. Why doesn't she have like an awesome, like, he will love me. He will marry me. Just like that.
That was terrifying.
Just like that.
And I would have been even more
in. Sold.
I still like Corpse Bride. You like it,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah.
Is it not as good as Nightmare? Sure, yeah. Some people like it actually more. I don't.
It's a terrible day. A day for an ominous wedding.
Don't be that way. I mean, there's a couple moments in it that I like. It just falls a little bit short at the end for me.
Yeah.
And she just disappears into butterflies.
Supposed to be okay with...
Goodbye, Victor. Everybody talks like this in this movie. Have you noticed?
But I never wanted you to go.
It's a terrible day.
Speaking of Helena Bonham Carter, Sweeney Todd, 2007, but the stage came out Broadway, 1979.
Yes.
With Angela Lansbury.
Taylor's oldest time.
And if you guys don't know who Angela Lansbury is, this is
Angela.
Angela Lansbury. She is Mrs. Potts from... Oh, ego stroke moment.
Oh, there it goes.
In the actual movie Beauty and the Beast, we know somebody that is the voice of Chip, and his name is Bradley, and he used to work with us at Universal Studios.
Yeah. And he played Boy in Jumanji who turns into a monkey.
Yes, the boy in Jumanji who turns into a monkey. Correct.
Thank you.
And that's it.
Who is Jumanji?
I like the stage musical. I think it's Sondheim, right? It's probably one of the most gory musicals, though, to step onto the stage.
Yeah.
It had real blood. Well, not. They were cutting people up. Most people didn't come out of the theater, so the reviews were great. No, but they had blood, like fake blood on stage. They were really cutting throats left and right. It was kind of awesome. So if you're into gore, I think this is the musical that you take your boyfriend to who is not into musicals.
Yeah, because they did the whole shoot where the bodies would go down, but then some stage versions would build it higher so that you would see the body go down the chute.
Yeah.
So then you had like an extra element of like, oh, this is fucked up.
Oh, it's brutal.
So
you just need to get through Joanna's song.
Oh.
Turn it off, for God's sake, turn it off!
For me, the other one that kills me is his stalker song. I feel you, Joanna.
I like
you
Joanna.
You like that, though.
I like a man like looking a at me through my window as I'm just peering out into the abyss.
Singing about how he wants to touch
he's
you
just
and
peeking.
Feel you.
But I leave the window open a little bit so he can see me.
See me.
I'm the nurse that closes the curtain. You'll catch a cold. Get away from the window, Joanna. And you're like, fuck off. Someone's singing to me right
now. My tits out. That's how I sit out the window. What's she doing out the window? My one tit is just out, and I'm just like peering out to nothing, hoping he's around, just nonchalantly like knitting while my tits are out.
Oh, I hope he comes by, that boy again.
Did Sweeney talk?
But then they came out with a movie. Tim Burton again. Honestly, I think who steals the show of this movie is Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh,
as
yeah.
The Italian.
The scammer.
Baracchi. I forget his name. It's a B.
My name is Borat.
Birvelli.
It's a P. Pirelli.
It's a B.
That's all, bro.
I think he really steals that movie. Alan Rickman is in it, which doesn't do a bad singing job, surprisingly. And Johnny Depp's in it, of course, with Helena Bonham Carter, his typical go-tos that he likes. And you know what, guys? It's not bad. It's not bad.
No, I actually don't mind
Sweeney Todd.
No. Yeah.
With you, my friend, and you've come home. That's my Johnny Depp.
That's really good. I was like, woo.
Thank you. I should have been it.
You should.
Should have been me. With my tit out.
That is the voice of an angel.
Meat pies!
Meat pies. And me meat pies.
Sarah's meat pies out in the window.
Looking
again.
With your eyes with my meat pies.
Sarah, the next one is our favorite.
What is it?
2008.
Repo.
Yeah!
Repo.
This is the musical, Repo the Genetic Opera, which is weird. There was another movie that came out at that time that was literally called The Repo Man.
Oh, yeah.
And I got those two mixed up because when I first typed in The Repo, and then I started watching Repo. It was like this murder movie about like a repo man. I was like, this isn't a musical.
You know this isn't a musical.
But this is the musical that I think is the closest thing to the modern day Rocky Horror Picture Show, where this has even developed a shadow cast as well for Repo the Genetic Opera. The guy from Buffy the Vampire Slayer in this, Giles.
Anthony Head.
He plays the repo man, the father. And what's her name from Spy Kids is in it as the daughter.
You should know her name. You had to say it.
Oh my God. A stroking moment. Stroking moment of Sarah's. So I was doing Grinchmas.
The Grinch.
Playing said character, and it was a media event. And Alexa, her name is Alexa. Yeah. And I had to announce them on stage. It was her and her boyfriend, who was from Big Time Rush, or husband at this time. And they both took on each other's names where they put them together. And all I had to say was like, and from this place and this movie, here they are, Alexa something something and Alexa Penavega. That's all I had to damn say. And my dumb ass was so nervous because they just gave me the names and apparently I can't do Spanish.
Hola.
Hola.
I got everything right except the very end. I was like, Vega Pena! On national television.
Proudly clap.
Idiot.
You can literally look this up online. It's like Grinchmas 2012.
Something.
Alexa Pena Vega. You could watch me screw up in front of thousands of people and just with a smile on my face. I had one job to do.
One job.
So that's how I know Alexa Pena Vega from Spy Kids. Very nice. No complaints about her. She's even more beautiful in person. It's just, oh, it's got the original Christine Daae.
Yes,
in
Sarah
it.
Brightman.
Yes, Sarah Brightman. From Phantom of the Opera. And
Bill Moseley.
Bill Moseley from Devil's Rejects, House of a Thousand Corpses, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Bill Moseley. And it has Paris Hilton in it.
Yes.
Oh, yes, as Bill Moseley's sister, one of his siblings. There's another one that plays Pavi. And he plays Luigi, who is a brother of a very rich millionaire man and who has intense rage. While Pavi is a sexual deviant and keeps changing his face over and over.
The most dashing, fancy snatching.
And then Sweet, Amber Sweet, played by, yes, everybody, Paris Hilton.
Damn that Paris Hilton.
Is singing in this musical. Paris Hilton. And is it good? No, it's not.
But I love her. Wait, did you know Tobin Bell was in this movie?
Who's Tobin?
Saw. Jigsaw.
I want to play a game.
As what?
Just in the movie.
Where? He doesn't they have... put him in the back?
He's just waving.
Post-apocalyptic kind of musical, rock musical, kind of, it's for goth kids. This is like the goth scene era.
Freaks of the world, unite!
Got this cyberpunk kind of vibe, cyber goth vibes to it.
Hardcore goth.
Movie where they need plastic surgery has become almost like a fashion statement, and a lot of people are getting it and they can't afford it. And if they can't afford it within a certain amount of time, then the repo man comes and takes their organs. And since it is a post-apocalyptic world, people's organs are failing much more quickly, so they get their surgery done. And in order to get it done and quickly, where you can literally go out the next day, there is this drug called Zydrate.
Zydrate comes in a little glass vial.
And Zydrate is this miracle drug that can make you feel amazing in 2 seconds. Best drug on the market at this time. But where you get this type of drug sometimes is when there is a market, a sub-market grows, which is a quote from it. And you can get it from all the dead bodies that used to have it. And that's what the grave robber is in there for. And he's taking and selling it on like the black market. It's a great storyline.
Yeah.
Really fun twist. Very eerie. Very gory.
Very gory.
Fun, fun music. I think I sing almost all the songs. I sing as Pavi.
The most chanting, panty snatching.
Mark It Up is one of my favorite songs, and it's a terrible song, but I love it so much.
Yeah, that's all the characters do. The siblings have their moments.
They have their, like, where the Dad, brother.
He left me in charge, sister.
Pavi, shut the f*** up. And then these same people came out with another horror musical called The Devil's Carnival a little bit later on. Way less known.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much talked about. Music is not as good. It's kind of like a weird storyteller and then this kind of hell of like this freak show kind of carnival cursed people on this. And I watched some pieces of it. I like the character Scorpion, and who's like this greaser boy who throws knives and shit and kills one of the girls. You're a tough little
tadpole to love. I don't know if you know these two. Have you ever seen the movie Stage Fright?
No.
Came out in 2014.
No.
Oh my god, it's got Minnie Driver in it and Meatloaf.
Meatloaf.
Yes. So this is, rest if you peace. Haven't seen this, Sarah, you're gonna love it.
Stage Fright.
Minnie Driver played a Broadway diva. Her kids come to see her, and then she's murdered. And it's kind of like she was doing a Phantom of the Opera-esque show.
Okay.
So she's murdered. Her daughter goes to summer camp, but not just any summer camp.
Kind.
Musical theater summer camp.
Oh my god.
Here at Camp Chippewa.
And that camp does the show that her mother died in. These are just random songs burst out of nowhere, including dance numbers. I love it. Meatloaf's in it. Minnie Driver.
I love like, Meatloaf.
Where did that come from?
I will do anything for love.
And then have you ever seen 2018 Anna and the Apocalypse?
Okay. No.
Horror, Christmas, comedy, musical.
Awesome.
It is very much like Shaun of the Dead. It's a zombies. It's a 2017 British Christmas zombie musical film. Feels different than before. And it's won like BAFTA awards.
Mm. And then the zombies.
A zombie infection starts, and so they have to go through the zombie during Christmas time, killing with candy canes and whatnot.
Absolutely.
What are some horror musicals on Broadway and stage that you love? I feel like I know a few.
My favorite random horror musical that happened that I was absolutely obsessed with at one point in time, and probably still am obsessed with, is Evil Dead.
You still
the musical.
Are.
Groovy.
Absolutely obsessed with it, yeah.
That damn show had me laughing on my f***ing floor.
I'm an S-Mart employee.
I don't think I've ever seen something so stupid but so fun to sing at the same time, where it doesn't take itself too seriously. And if you guys got to happen to see Evil Dead the musical, usually, especially in Vegas when they had a Regency there for a little bit, the front row, they would give you like tarps and like plastic bags to put over yourself, because the front rows were kind of like the wet seats, they would call it, and they would literally douse these people in f***ing blood. Just anytime there was blood spray anywhere, the entire audience is just getting riddled with it. And I thought that was the funniest damn thing. And it's a self-aware comedy where it knows it's stupid, so it's playing on that.
Yeah.
And that's what works. And if you just like Evil Dead to begin with, which is already quite campy on its own.
Shop S-Mart.
despite being in the woods, camping, yeah. Campy.
Campy. Crap.
The musical is also campy itself, to the point where I loved it so much that I even, my first attempt at videos, like true videos that I invested money in, was to do the opening scene from Evil Dead, which is called Cabin in the Woods. We're all camping the car. We filmed this whole thing multiple times in Big Bear, got a cabin, housed everybody. Like it was an event, and nobody has really seen the full footage until this day. And we can't go back now because it's been so many years. None of us look the damn same.
We are so old.
I have posted on my Instagram little clips of it. I'll post it just on Talkie Horror.
Even with the bad clip, I
put Gabby through it.
I went through shit for this. I got real bad sunburn. I was thrown in the back of a pickup truck.
We got her beaten up.
Blood poured on.
It was funny. It was like, I wanted these kids, you know, like Ash and his friends.
Hit by a car.
I will find that video. And I wanted these kids to be so stupid that they don't know that they're walking into danger. So not only were they in Evil Dead, but I kind of wanted to pay homages to like other horror movies that are based in like camp moments. So we had the Blair Witch sticks around in certain areas. We had Gabby in the back of a truck with a creepy white guy. So kind of like Texas Chainsaw kind of a vibe. We're at the very end where she's laughing, doused in blood. But the kids aren't noticing, like, all this stuff is around them. Jason Voorhees, they don't notice anything. They just keep singing. Oh, we will put it up and show you guys. And I'll find little clips and stuff. I'll put it up there, too, because it was a time. It was the beginning stages of all the stuff that we do today. So I'm excited to show you guys a little bit of it. The shit that we put Gabby through multiple times.
We beat the shit out of her.
Which one do you like?
One that just sticks in my head is Jekyll and Hyde, because my sister Lori used to listen to it all the time.
God.
But not when it was Lucy and Lisa, not Emma.
Right.
And not when they changed it, when they still had Bring on the Men. When they had that, I would listen to. And not like Hasselhoff. I don't want to Hasselhoff. Not that guy.
I'm David Hasselhoff.
If you have a good cast.
Yeah.
And a great production, this could be a really great musical.
And that's the recording that I have. Is
they
like,
just never really do.
No. I like Beetlejuice.
Finer points can wait, but first you gotta say my name.
Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice the musical.
That one came out of nowhere and was about to fail on Broadway. Then the fans on TikTok is what saved that musical. And then it just skyrocketed. And now it's one of the number one musicals that was supposed to be closed down. It was not getting ticket sales at the beginning. I am obsessed. And that comes here. We are seeing that.
I sent
that.
You. I was like, Sarah.
I know. It is coming to California, and it's been a minute because of, you know, COVID and everything. It shut it down for quite a bit, but it found its way. I'm way back home. Again, taking it from the musical.
That's a good one.
I got one thing I don't like about it, though.
Is it Adam?
It's f***ing Adam and Barbara.
Barbara.
I don't like the way they portray them. They're a little bit too dorky.
No, you don't need that.
Now, I understand this is for the show adaptation and they're taking their own take on everybody.
Yeah.
I get it. They're making it work for their storyline.
Right.
I understand that. I just don't like it. I just don't like Barbara and Adam that dorky. I get they're trying to make them complete polar opposite of what cool Beetlejuice tries to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're cooler than that and they're way smarter than what they're portraying them.
I agree with the way smarter. I am kind of bummed that they're dumb. Like, they towards the end,
really
they're
dumb.
Not dumb, but, like...
I like it. And the girl that plays Lydia, like, the original OG, that little thing.
Little powerhouse.
What a unique voice. But also, her voice is so unpredictable if she's going to hit that note or not. And I think that's part of the fun. You may get a bad night. A bad night's a good night, because now you get to see her, like...
Maybe a wee bit scratchy.
Because she's a cracker, for sure. She's a squeaker cracker.
But Beetlejuice definitely, I mean, Young Frankenstein.
That's Frankenstein.
It's more just comedy, but Heathers, would you consider Heathers horror?
No, not really. I mean, Lestat.
Lestat's there. Carrie only lasts for 3 days and they try to bring it back.
I love Carrie.
That's not my name.
stroking ego moment. Derek Klena, who I used to grow up with, and we were in the same high school. I used to hang out with his sister at his house.
Just Derek Klena, bigger that you're stroking.
I'm stroking it so hard. I used to hang out with him back in the damn day. Best buddy sleepover at their house. That motherfucker's on Broadway now, and he's played Fiero. But he was originally in the cast of Carrie, and he played Bobby, the nice one that takes Carrie out to prom. He plays that. Now he's in Moulin Rouge. He's the guy who subbed in.
Oh, that's right.
Took over. What's his name's role? Hey, you know what?
Chicken butt.
There is one movie musical that I would like to just mention.
Yeah.
And that is Mad Monster Party.
Yes.
Mad Monster Party.
It's another stop animation. Same people who made like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and, you know, Santa Claus is Coming to Town stop animation movies from like the 1960s. This is their Halloween one that they did.
Lovable creature.
And one of my favorite characters in it ever. If you guys think with my red hair, I'm like trying to be Jessica Rabbit.
No. Wrong.
I'm trying to be Francesca.
You creep.
If you guys haven't seen this movie, please do it now. Find it somewhere. It is called Mad Monster Party from the 1960s. It's got Phyllis Diller in it. Boris Karloff, and he plays Dr. Frankenstein. It's a stop animation. It's got silly music in it. It has all the classic monsters in it revamped. I wish more people knew about that. But it went under the radar.
There's just a lot of music. It's like Bat Boy.
I love Bat Boy.
Bat Boy's so
there
good.
Is a weird animal orgy in it that doesn't need to be in it.
Touch me, Bat Boy.
At all, but it's there with like there. This weird pan goat man character.
It's Man Bear Pig.
And I'll never forget seeing that in high school.
They did Casper. They did
Casper.
Casper.
Yeah, some of these don't last, but I was looking at a list of things. The Fly.
The Fly. What are they doing? What are they? The Fly. Get
f***ed. More. That's about Edgar Allan Poe.
Edgar Allan Poe.
You have Adam's Family.
Oh, yeah, Adam's Family.
When you're in Adam's.
That was my Adams. Snap. When you're in Adam's.
When you're in Adam's. You need to have a little moonlight.
I don't like that opening. I like Nathan Lane, so he can do no wrong in my eyes.
I like.
Even if he's drunk, I don't care. Could we even talk about...
We can talk about whatever we want. It's our show.
That's right.
Well, then, can we just talk about how polarizing Thriller was back in the 1980s?
How it scared the shit out of me?
Well, it's just... It was a revolution not only for horror shit, for just music videos in general. Like, Michael put it on the damn map with that damn song.
Damn! Double damn!
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows Thriller.
Shoulder. Slash. Shoulder. Clap.
Hit.
It's like the Indian version. Kalima! Ha, ha! Ha, Kalima. Like, I forget what he says, but it's something along the lines of that. I'm going to put that on our page, too. The Indian guy dressed as Thriller. I consider kind of like a slight movie musical.
Yeah,
in a way.
It was like
short?
A video.
A short. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally.
And that was frightening.
I think that's about it for what we have to talk about. Right, Gabby?
Yeah, I would say.
Right.
Thank God.
Gabby, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead and leave a nice comment down in the comment area.
Wonderful. Never mind. Get somebody else. Fire her. Out the door you go. Goodbye.
So leave a comment down below letting us know what your favorite movie musical or stage musical. We want to know what you think. And then on Instagram, we will have a poll.
Poll?
A poll of his poll. And as well as asking you guys... Do you like horror musicals as much as Sarah and I do?
No.
Our next episode, just to get you guys ready, is going to be Unpopular Opinion.
Ooh. Unpopular Opinion. We're about to crush your dreams if you like a certain movie.
We're about to become unpopular. I don't know why we think we're popular.
Popular.
Is it possible to become unpopular?
I think with us, yes.
Go check us out on our Instagram at what, Gabby?
_talkyhorrorpodcast_
Yeah, on Instagram. And we will see you creatures next time.
Bye.
We really need to pick up.
Christine.